Hey everybody, how you doing? Good? You full from lunch? I always love sessions after lunch because everybody starts to sleep, right? Yeah. There's a lot of you in the room and it's really bright lights too, so I probably won't even be able to tell if you're sleeping unless you start snoring. So just be quiet if you're sleeping. My name's Beth Massey. I work for Microsoft. I'm on a team called the BizApps team inside of Visual Studio. We build the tools inside of VS for Office, SharePoint, Azure, as well as this new product called Visual Studio Lightswitch. So today I'm going to talk to you and introduce you to this product. Okay, so who has never seen Visual Studio Lightswitch? Good, because this is an intro. I'm actually doing 4 talks on Lightswitch this whole conference, so you know, tomorrow we're going to get really advanced. But this is going to be an introduction to the product, what it does, and you know, we'll build a business up end to end during this whole session. Okay, all right. So who has downloaded the beta? This is currently in beta. Not very many people, so I'm going to try and convince the rest of you to download the beta after this session. All right. Okay, so let's get ahead and get started. So, why Visual Studio Lightswitch in the first place? So we did a lot of research on the type of developer that this product was targeted for. We find that a lot of times in businesses, you know, developers, you know, the people that get paid to write code, like you and me, aren't always the ones building business applications. Okay. A lot of times they're, you know, they can code a little bit, they may use Excel with some VBA, and these business applications are business productivity type of applications. They're very data-centric applications, and you know, they sometimes become very mission-critical, or at least the business starts to use them more and more and more, and then, you know, they are written in something that's not very scalable, and then we come in and throw the whole thing away and start over, right? Okay. We want to build business applications quickly too. Okay, a lot of times, you know, we spend way too much money on these types of smaller business or enterprise departmental level applications. Okay, we spend our more money. We should be spending our time on building the, you know, enterprise services and, you know, all those types of applications we're probably building today. You don't have time to write these little productivity apps for the department because, you know, it's just not a priority, okay? And they did take too long to build, honestly. So developers want to build these types of applications too. Now, the types of applications I keep referring to, small, medium business applications, okay? You know, we're talking 30 screens and tables type of apps, okay? Or applications that are in an enterprise that have to do maybe with the departments, okay? Kind of, you know, SharePoint is a good example of using kind of a productivity style applications, right? Okay, so a lot of times these are just built off of Office, okay? And like I said, sometimes have scalability issues later. Okay, so that's why we targeted this product. That's the sweet spot for this product. Okay, you'll see a lot of overlap between Visual Studio Pro, right? Obviously, it is Visual Studio. Okay, it's going to be familiar to you as Visual Studio developers. But you're going to see some overlap with Access too. Okay, a little bit. Okay, so because if we didn't have this overlap, we'd end up having 2 gaps. We're trying to fill a gap, and if we didn't make it, we'd end up with 2. Okay, so you're going to see some of the overlap. Okay, so this is what Lightswitch really is. Okay, it is the simplest way to build these business applications. Not only for the desktop, like an Access app, but also for the cloud, for the web. Okay, you're going to see, as developers, you are all. Who is not a professional developer? Who does not get paid to write code in this room? Couple people. Okay. All right. Cool. That's good. I want you to take a look at this product. This might be for you. Okay. It's not that you don't write code in Lightswitch. You do. It's just that it does all the plumbing for you. Okay, and the code you write is the only code you could write. Okay, that's the business logic. All right, so the development experience is like this. Okay, you always start with data in Lightswitch. Lightswitch is about data. Okay, whether that's a database, or you know, you create tables, you know, inside Lightswitch, or whether you attach to SharePoint or a RIA service, you start with data. Okay, you start with a data source. And then you start creating screens for this data. Okay, so Lightswitch is all about data and screens, data entry apps. This is what this builds, okay? So you start with your data, you create some screens, and then you start to refine the application, okay? Then you start to add business logic here and there. Maybe you have some custom rules. You put them in there for validation. Maybe you have some, you know, a little more screen workflows, you know, customize the screen layouts a little bit. You know, you don't like the canned real C screen templates that you get. You can change them around. Okay, and then we start defining filters and queries and that sort of stuff to pull the data down how we want. Okay, so this all kind of happens, you know, iteratively. The very, you know, the development approach for Lightswitch you'll see is start with some data, pick a screen, go back to some data, pick another screen, customize the screen, put some data. So it's back and forth, okay? And you'll see how we optimize this so you're not always hitting F5 to start it again, F5 to start it again, okay? Finally, when you have an app that's, you know, sort of what you want, you may have like some, you know, specialized requirements, like special controls or things that just aren't in the box inside of Lightswitch. Okay, Lightswitch provides a really nice extensibility model, actually. And we have partners building custom controls, custom data sources, screen templates, themes, shells, all sorts of stuff that you can plug in that as a Lightswitch developer can just download from the gallery and plug into their app. Okay. Tomorrow I'll get to how we build the extensions. Okay. So keep in mind that this is an entire development environment and it's a runtime framework that's extensible. So if you don't see what you like, this is the intro, I'm not going to go crazy and extend the whole thing. Okay, that's tomorrow. If you don't see what you like in the box, note that you can change what it looks like. You can create your own controls, especially as being professional developers, you can write your own Silverlight controls and use them in Lightswitch. Okay, and I'll get to that this afternoon. All right, so here's the approach, the iterative development approach I was talking about. So you always start with data, add your data source or start with some data, okay, create some tables. Describe the entities themselves. What is its behavior? What are its validation rules? Write the code. The code you write is mostly going to be around your entities themselves. Okay, you're hardly ever going to write anything inside the screens at all. Okay, everything is around the data and the data model. Okay, then we pick a screen template. There's going to be some screen templates I'll show you. And then we hit F5. I haven't written any code yet on the screen, right? There's no screen code involved, just some business rules. The F5 to run, if we don't like how the screen looks, okay, we can click at design time when we're developing, we can design the screen. We click this button, we don't actually have to stop the debugger, and then we can make the screen look better or how we want it. And so the visual layout you can change without having to stop the debugger and then change it and then hit F5 again. Okay, so it really kind of optimizes on this iterative development of your screens. Okay, so that's pretty cool. We didn't want it, that's the hard, like sometimes the longest thing to do is to hit F5 and see what the screen looks like again and, you know, tweak it. Okay, stop, do it again, stop, do it again. How many times do you hit F5 in a day? 1,000? Right, okay. We tried to cut that down to 500. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through a demo. If you have downloaded the beta, this is the Vision Clinic application is build your first application. This is our scenario for you getting you introduced to Lightswitch. This is going to be my version of it. Okay, I'm not going to go through the walkthrough. You can do that online. I'm going to show Beth Massey's version of Vision Clinic. And I have very bad eyesight, so it's perfect for me. So this application, we have some data on-premise already. We have some product catalogs. In a SQL Server database, okay? The technicians, let's put it that way, the technicians are sitting at, you know, their computers and they're actually integrating with, sometimes with machines, you know, to do the eye scanning and stuff like that. So we need some sort of desktop client that's able to interface with other applications and other devices on the computer, okay? So in that case, we're using a Silverlight out of browser or a desktop application. We also have some people in the front office that need to work with Office, and so we can, again, use the desktop application to communicate with Office through Calm. We've also got, I think that was SharePoint came up online over here. Okay, so we also have got a SharePoint site, and I'll continue on in the next session about how we're going to integrate, say, some invoices and invoicing with SharePoint because they're keeping documents in SharePoint. We also want to surface some of that data inside of our application. And finally, I won't I won't actually perform this deployment, but we can deploy to SQL Azure. I'll walk through the, in the end, I'll walk through the deployment options, okay? And so what we could do is we could host this application in Azure and SQL Azure, okay? The database goes in SQL Azure. And it, we have actually a really great walkthrough. It's fairly easy to do if you understand how to start an Azure account and pop in your subscription IDs. The designer inside of Lightswitch guides you through it, okay? All right, so let's stop slides now till the end. Actually, I don't like slides. Okay, so I've just opened Lightswitch. Okay, so what I have installed here on this machine is, of course, hold on, is just Lightswitch. If you go and you have a clean machine and you go and download the beta, this is what you get, okay? You'll notice that, oh, it's kind of cut off, but there you'll notice that this is Visual Studio. There's the logo way up here, but the menus are very streamlined. There's not a lot of crap in there that you don't need, okay? All right, crap. I say crap. I work for Visual Studio. It's not crap, but okay. It's just stuff you don't need, all right? Okay, so the other thing you'll see, you know, it's got its own, you know, welcome screen, community and learning resources. I highly recommend you go to the Developer Center. I run the Developer Center. A lot of good stuff there. Team blog, everything. Okay, so it's streamlined for, you'll notice there's no toolbox. There's no little tool. There's no tool at all. You'll see what happens. There is a solution explorer. There is properties. Okay, but you'll notice that like a lot of the buttons are removed. Okay, it's simple. That's the idea. Visual Studio Ultimate Edition overwhelms even the developers sometimes, okay? So this is the idea. It's a very streamlined environment. All right, so let's go ahead and new project. Okay, I'm going to create it in this here. Select that folder. Okay, and I'm going to create Vision Clinic. Okay, and did you notice that was the only decision I made was VB or C#? That was one template in there. Wasn't like all the list of like, you know, thousands of templates to do in Lightswitch. When if you just install Lightswitch, you just make one decision up front, VB or C#. I made no decision on desktop versus web, what's my architecture, or nothing, none of that. You don't make any of that decision until the end, till you're done, how you want to deploy it, as a web app or a desktop app. Okay? All right, so the second question, you want to add a table or you want to suck in some tables from external data source, okay? Create a new table or attach. All right, so for this example, I'm going to first attach to our product catalog. I mentioned we have some products already in the system, so this should look familiar. You'll notice that you can also attach not only to databases, but to SharePoint and Rhea services as well. I'll show that in our next session this afternoon. Okay, so I'm going to attach to a database. It's really hard to see my keyboard. Hold on, I think I have light here. Hold on. Light is, yeah, this is the funny part. Okay, there. Okay, I got a light. All right. I think I have it in here. Here we go. And it should be called, here, Prescription Contoso. All right. So there's just a couple tables in here. There's products, and then we have some product rebates, I believe. Not a ton of tables in here, really. Yeah, there it is. Cool. All right, yeah, products and product rebates. So we'll take both of them. Yeah, it's the first time SQL Server had to start. Okay. All right, so here we go. That's it. This is this is called the Entity Designer. Okay, it's who's used Entity Framework before? Okay, you know what that designer looks like? It's like, okay. Oh, here's my table. So this is actually Entity Framework under the hood, and I'll talk a little bit more about what the underlying architecture is in our next session, but we've made it a very simplified designer on top of it. So you're always focused on one entity at a time, okay, and the properties around that entity. Okay, and I have funky resolution here, so there actually is another button. There's this write code button. And every entity has a certain set of methods that you can tap into for validation, for accessing the save pipeline, which we'll get into a little later, query methods, okay, all sorts of stuff that you can get at, okay, even access control. Okay, so it's the way you navigate through here is you just go, okay, here's the relationship. You can see a one, and I don't know if you could see that, but it's an infinity sign, so one to many. Okay, and I just click on the little title bar of the next table to navigate around. Okay, you only ever see the direct relationships of the entity. Okay, like it or not. All right, so I'm going to do a couple make a couple modifications to this. This is an external data source, so I can't add fields. Okay, I can't add storage properties, meaning I can't change the underlying schema of an external data source. Okay, but if it is changed and you need to refresh it, you can just right-click here and you can say update data source. Okay, now so LightSwitch will, if you're creating tables through LightSwitch, which we will do in a minute, you can definitely, you know, describe your data model, create storage properties, that sort of stuff. The only thing you can do for an external data source is you can modify some of the types. Okay, so for instance, if this underlying storage property is a string like this, in LightSwitch I can pick email address or phone number, and what does that mean? Those are called business types. Okay, LightSwitch has this concept of a business type, which is, it's like an extension of a storage type, which would, in this case would be string. And it comes with formatted invalidation for free. And this is an extensibility point. You could write your own. You can stick more in there. Okay. So I could change that, but email address and phone number doesn't really make sense for product name. I will keep it as a string. For MSRP, though, I will select money. Okay. And for the product image, I will select an image. Okay. So notice that when I, you know, do select these business types, I can... For this one, for instance, display what kind of currency, code. Okay, should I display the symbol or not? Okay, what type of symbol should I display? Things like that. All right. Let's go ahead and also change whether or not the properties on the screens will display or not. Okay, by default, all of them will display. Okay, I don't want to display the IDs. All right, so let's go jump over here. Same idea, so I'm just going to uncheck that. The rebate start and end is cool, but this is the rebate is actually money again. All right, cool. So this is our product and our product rebates. Now I want to start designing our application, designing more entities. What I want this application to do is track prescriptions on our patients. Okay, so I'm going to need a patient table and I need a prescription, right? Okay, and we're going to put products, select products on the prescriptions. All right, so let's go ahead and you can either click... Let's click right here on the data sources. I'm going to add a table. Okay. Now what this does is you can see now two data sources. This is your external data source. This is what's called the intrinsic database or the internal database that you're going to be creating through LightSwitch. Okay. So patient. Patient has a last name, right? Probably required is good. First name. This is where you get to watch Beth type. Okay, what else? Social Security number. This is important for U.S. identification of the person. What else? Gender. Okay, what about gender? Okay, you notice I have just been creating all these strings, string. We won't make that required. You can select what the maximum lengths can be. I'm not going to go through and do that for all of them. But for this particular one, gender. I mean, I do come from San Francisco, but normally you're either male or female, right? Okay, there are exceptions, I guess. But, okay, these are the Dutch, right? You guys get that. All right, so it's like San Francisco here. Okay, so I want to store actually just one M or an F in the database, okay? But I want to display male or female to the user. So what you can do for static lists, for small static lists, we can create what's called a choice list. Okay, so I'm just going to add the value I want to store, which is an F. Okay, oops, it would be help if I spell female correctly. Okay, and then an M for male. Okay, so this isn't like a lookup table at all. This is just, you know, a static list. Yes, no, maybe, those kinds of things. Okay, so it'll just display as a drop down. All right, so this is a string, and I'm storing one. All right, what else? Gender. How about the phone? Oops. Okay, so we got a phone number. Okay, I'm going to make that a phone number. With phone numbers, you can actually specify which type of formats you want to accept. Okay, so this is the order in which the validation will run. So it'll accept any of these formats. Okay, and you're also going to see when we create the screen, you're actually going to get a nice little editor to kind of edit through all of these different codes or sections of a phone number, like area code and that sort of thing. All right, so email, it's an email address. Okay. And with email address, you can actually specify a default domain, which is cool. And, you know, like Microsoft.com, etc. because we all work for Microsoft, right? Okay, so if you were creating like an internal, maybe a departmental app, that might be important. Okay, this is a vision clinic, I'll leave that out. All right, and the other thing is whether or not you should require the email domain or not, which we will do. All right, so let me just finish the rest of this. I'm just gonna do address, city, state, zip. All right. Okay, so that's our patient table. All right, so now I'm gonna need another table, right? And this one's gonna be called prescriptions. Prescription, okay? Notice that that's the singular of the entity, and then your set name is prescriptions, okay? It's just like entity framework. If you named this prescriptions, it would say prescription set, okay? So I like to say make this singular. All right, I'm gonna uncheck that guy. And a prescription really just has a date of the prescription. And you can specify whether there's a date or display the date and the time, okay? I'll go ahead and leave the date time. And the other thing, we'll just put some notes in here, maybe. All right. All right, so now I'm gonna have to make some relationships. I'm gonna have to relate all this data together now, right? So we're just gonna go ahead and add a relationship here. Okay, so from the prescription to the patient. Now this is the relationship, you know, dialogue, add new relationship dialogue. So it tries to be very, very simple and clear. Okay, this is a patient, a prescription must have a patient. A patient can have many prescription instances. A patient cannot be deleted if there are related prescription instances. So notice the on delete behavior, you could say cascade, okay? I don't wanna do that. I wanna leave it as restricted, all right? So that's a very simple relationship. Now I need to add another relationship right here to the product, okay? Now notice this time, before it was a solid line, because this is the same database, you can make that referential integrity, right? You can have that referential integrity. Now, this case, I'm adding a relationship between two data separate data sources. So you can't enforce the referential integrity, we can't enforce it, but we can create a relationship so that the data always comes down together and saves, okay? All right, so the thing is I have to store some sort of ID, though, here in my intrinsic database to keep track of that, all right? So there's a same idea here where we can specify the multiplicity. You'll just see this dotted line, okay? And it's letting you know what it's going to store in what field. Okay, so, and then I just don't want to show this on the screen either. Okay, so it just stuck that in there for us. All right, so now, let's see, is that about it? So I got prescriptions, patient, okay, so that looks good. All right, so now that's my entity model. I didn't write any code yet. I've got it together, looks good. Now what I wanna do is write a couple business rules, okay? What I'm gonna do is add a computed property first. Now there's this concept in LightSwitch of what's called a summary property. So for instance, if we go to patient, if we select the title bar up here, you'll see down at the bottom here, there's this thing called summary property. And it is used to describe the entity. So when you see things on screens, and LightSwitch will create a lot of screens for you if you don't create every single screen in the system for an entity, and you click on it, it will actually generate a screen based on your entity model here. And what it wants to do is it wants to display some sort of summary for the entities that display on the screen. Okay? By default, it picks the very first string it finds. Okay, I don't want to just display last name in my case, though. I want to display the full name. I want, you know, last name, comma, first name. So what we'll do is we'll add a computed property, okay, and I'll just call it full name. Okay, and there we go. And now what we can do is we can go up and edit the method. This is going to bother me. Okay, this little thing. All right, Microsoft. All right, so now what I need to do is I just need to specify the result. It's a string, type string, so let's just say result equals, you know, me dot last name plus comma me dot first. Okay? All right, and we'll add another computed property that's actually computed, computed number, but this is a string. Okay, so now anytime, what I want to do is now just set that down here. Okay, here it is, full name. All right, now for prescription, the notes is the first string, but I want to set this as the date, just display that as a date, because this is a required field. Okay, so you wouldn't see something necessarily if we didn't have a note in there. All right, product, it looks like product name is the first one, so that's all good. Okay, we're good there. All right, and patient, okay, so that's cool. Product rebates, we'll make it the rebate start. How about that? Because that's required. Okay, not the ID. Rebate start. Actually, do I have this display? No. Okay. All right. So now we've got summary properties. We've created one calculated field. All right. Cool. All right. So you guys ready for some screens? I got a pretty good data model, right? Before I start screens, I mean, I could do screens now. You can do screens at any time. But like how I like to develop, I mean, maybe because I'm a developer, is I like to think about my data model and kind of think about some of the validation rules before I think about screens, right? Kind of, I don't know, what do you guys think? It's either or. We could go screens, we could go business rules. What do you think? Rules, okay, rules, because I like code. Okay, so we need some rules. All right, so let's go ahead and figure out some rules. One of the rules, let's see, rebate start and end date probably shouldn't, like, you know, overlap each other, or maybe one should be before the other. You know, that probably is a good idea. So let's go ahead and write some code. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drop down this write code button like I showed you before, and you'll see once you select the property that you're on, you'll see the property methods, and there's the validate. Okay, and I'll need a rebate end date too. So here's rebate end. Okay, now what you do to specify, actually the validation framework in Lightswitch is pretty sweet. And it's going to run these validation rules anytime it needs to. When the screen needs to check a rule, it will run it. When you're manipulating data on the server side, it will run it. Okay, so it will actually run the rules on the client first. The property rules will run on the client first, like it should, give immediate feedback to the user if something's wrong. Okay, and then when you let the user saves, it runs them again on the middle tier. Okay, I'm giving you sort of a clue into the architecture here. This is an N-tier application. Okay, you don't necessarily have to know that as a Lightswitch developer, but as real developers, we want to know that this is really proven N-tier patterns here, and it actually is going to run your validation on the middle tier. Okay, so rebate start and end. So I think actually I have a little bit of snippet of code. Probably a good idea to start pulling this out. Yeah, I got one for validation. Oh yeah, so security number is good too. So let's go ahead and put those in. All right, so add property error is just specifying that this property should be in error. The user cannot save this form until it's cleared, okay? The other things you can add are an entity error. The whole entire entity is in error. That'll give you just a summary, and it won't be a specific property that's in error. Or add entity result. There's a couple overloads here. So you can specify warnings and informational messages too. The user can still save the screen, but you can put nice little warnings, which are come in yellow, and informational messages in blue. Okay, so that's kind of sweet. So let's go ahead and make those errors though. Okay, the other thing I want to do is I should not have eaten too much lunch before this talk. I'm starting to get a little grumbly. Okay, sorry. Sorry if I accidentally, woo. Okay, let's, social security number. Okay, social security number has a specific format that must be entered in a specific way. And I don't remember the format. So what I'm going to do is hopefully I have internet here. Okay, there's the developer center. This is one of my favorite sites, regexlib.com, because I don't write regex, I search for it. All right. I don't write code, I just find it. All right, here we go. I'm really good at finding code. All right, so I'm going to take that. You know you guys all do this too. You know you do. Come on, you don't? Right. Okay, so first I need to check if it's not empty. If me.ssn is not empty, then what is this? Regex.isMatch. I really like this. Yes. Okay, so if not regex is match, and what do I need? The input string is me.ssn, and like any good developer, you just paste that right in there, and it should be perfect. All right, and then, because I trust it, some dude that wrote that. All right, let's put the error message in, just invalid SSN, something like that. You could say no. All right, so there's a another simple rule. Okay, so you're starting to get the idea. So this is like how you kind of create your business rules, right? SSN validate. You can do entity level validation as well. Okay, we'll kind of tap into the safe pipeline a little later. All right, so let's go ahead now. Now that I have appeased all of the coding gods in here, let's just start creating some screens. Okay, so. This starts to get fun. Here is the screen templates. This is also another extensibility point. Okay, you could create your own screen templates and save them in here as templates. They're just starting points. You're not forced to, you know, be in this structure. You know, you could pick a detail screen and delete all the controls on it and start over and create the layout exactly how you want. But this is a good starting point, and especially when you're just starting to learn light switch screen designer, because it can be kind of funky at first, it's good to just go ahead and pick something like this and just try it out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to enter a new data screen because we have no data in our application. We need patient data. Okay. Notice that I could also select the prescriptions on this new data screen. It shows you the relations. Okay. So I'm just going to do just the patient data. So let's go ahead and create that. Okay. And let's just hit F5. Not going to do anything else. Yes, that's the screen designer, and we'll walk through it in a little bit. All right, so what is this actually doing? This is building, and this is building a N-tier Silverlight application. Okay, so you're going to get, this is an out-of-browser Silverlight application. All right, so the only code I wrote is the business rules, right? And we got a full-blown shell, application shell here. Okay, we've got the screen. The only screen I created comes up first. You'll notice that it's sitting in dirty mode with the star here. Okay, if I try to close the application, it warns me, hey, you got something here that you know you haven't saved yet. Are you sure you want to close? If I close the screen, I get similar. Okay, are you sure you want to save the changes? Okay, you've got a task list, a menu list here. You can change around how this, you know, what this displays. You also got a ribbon of commands that you can create more here across the top. All right, so let's go ahead and start entering some data. Now, if I remember this validation rule, if I don't type in the right format, here's how the validation errors display. They display while you hover over. Okay, you see your message, and you also get a nice summary at the top. Okay, that's kind of cool. All right, so I didn't have to write any of that either. All right, so once I enter the right format, everything's cool. Here's the gender. It's like if I type M, just male, F, female, or I could just drop. See, there's a little drop down here. Okay, male, female. All right, I am female as far as I know. Okay, phone number. Again, there's a little editor here. This is like you're for free. You get validation and a little editor for the phone numbers. Okay, so I don't have to enter any of. I don't have to enter country code. I could just, you know, enter 425. Actually, I'm actually in 925. I don't live in Redmond. Okay, it's the local number because this is my phone number, 555-1212. You can call that anytime. Okay. All right. Email. Okay, email. This is my email address. I don't mind people emailing me. I just don't like them calling me. So here's I specified that the no default domain, I took that out, and then I said it requires the domain, so it's saying invalid email address. So I just need to specify the domain. Okay, and then we could enter the address, whatever. All right, so let's just save this guy. Although I messed up gender, obviously. I didn't select gender right here, female. All right. Now you'll notice I automatically get like this edit screen. Okay, I purposely like didn't uncheck the ID on patient because I wanted you to notice it's actually a different screen. I didn't actually create this screen though. LightSwitch created it for me. Okay, notice it has my name here at the top. Now it's in edit mode. That's what it is. It's just in edit mode, and I could do all the same stuff I did before. Now, what would be nice though is like let's create our own edit screen because now I want to put prescriptions on here or whatever. Okay, I want to override that. So let's go ahead and close the app and add another screen. Okay, so I'm going to add a screen. This time I'm going to select detail screen, patient. I'm going to include the prescriptions, and notice it says use as default detail screen. Okay, so you can also specify this on the entity itself. Any screen that you have that is running the patient query and accepts an ID can be used as the default detail screen for an entity. Okay, so I'm going to use this as default. It automatically checks it for you if you haven't created one yet. Okay, so let's go ahead and run this again. And this time I'll enter another patient, and we should see our new screen created instead of the one light switch created. All right, so new patient. I always use Joe in my demos. I don't know his social security number, though, so we'll leave it out. I know he's male, okay? But he lives in Redmond, so it's 425-555-1212, okay? And I actually don't know if this is his email or not. Steve B is Steve Ballmer, though. Okay, so you can email him anytime. All right, so there is our screen. Now, notice it created a data grid. It just assumed data grid. You could select list if you wanted instead. But put the children in a grid, like it should, right? Then we can add prescriptions from here. What if I click that? It creates this little, you know, pop-up editor for me. I didn't have to do any of this. You'll notice that it automatically creates a lookup list of products because it's looking at the relationship here. Okay, this is a auto-complete box. You'll notice it isn't in order. We'll fix that. Okay, it's the sorted order. It's in the order of what's in the table. All right, so we'll fix that in a minute with some queries. All right, so I could, you know, specify eye drops. Beth's. Oh, Joe. This is Joe. Joe's eyes are dry because they are. Okay? He's got dry eyes. All right, so there you got. We got to fix a couple things on the screen, though, I think. Let's go ahead and save that. What I want to do, though, I like the layouts okay, but, you know, I want it to look a little bit better. So let's go ahead and click on this design screen. I mentioned this is kind of like the process of, okay, now I want to make some tweaks to the screen. Okay, a little bit how it looks. So now I just click design mode here, and then we can go in and mess around with this. So let's see, what do we want to do? So I think what I want to do, so for the data grid row here, you'll notice that there's product sitting right over here. What I want to do is, this product is a drop-down. I want to change this to picture and text because there's actually a picture, a product picture. I think it would look better to look at the picture. Okay, so now I just choose the content. So the picture is going to be the product image. And you'll notice that you're getting this live preview here on the side so you can see what it looks like, right? Product name, subtitle, maybe the cost here, and description is description. So you've kind of got, you know, this kind of thing going on. That looks good. Now, though, I can't select the product, you know, without the little pop-up window, because this is actually an editable grid if I wanted it to be. So what I'll do is I'll go up to this rows layout, and you'll notice when I select that, there's a little add here. Okay? And I can actually put the selected item edit controls down here at the bottom instead. So as the user goes through the grid, they can edit it down in those controls. Okay, so that's how we can put the product there. I don't need the patient, though. That's already hooked up automatically. Okay, all right, so I'm just making some small changes to this guy. The other thing you can do is you can go and mess around with the commands. Okay, there's screen commands at the top. That's the ribbon across the top. We have save and refresh by default here. But there's also command bars on anything. You know, I could put a command on this column if I wanted. Kind of funky, but I can. Sticks a button right. Actually, in this is the column's layout. So they stick a button right here. You know, you can do whatever you want. Okay, so it actually is pretty flexible, this designer. You might, you know, think it is a hierarchical view of the content. It's called a content tree, but you can customize this fairly complex customizations, and we'll do complex customizations tomorrow. But keep in mind that you can stick a lot of things that you need just by using this content tree. All right, so that's cool. Let's just go ahead and change this right here. Instead of the dot 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 with it brings up the pop-up. I don't want to do that. I just want to hit add because now I have the edit controls down here. So you can, and edit is kind of useless because edit is just select. Okay, so now I can do that and I can just move it, add. All right, so now I've got add, we'll just add in the row and then you can edit it down here. Okay, so you can do a lot of stuff like that. All right, so here's my method. It doesn't do anything. But okay, so here's where we got the eye drops. You know, you can select something else like advanced lens cleaner and there you go. All right, screens, that's screens. What about queries? Actually, did I want to do, I want one more screen, actually. Now that we have new patients and we have our edit patients, it would be really cool to kind of search patients, right? Because that should be usually the first thing the user does. Let's look up the person in the database before I start adding. All right, so I'm going to add a screen, and I want it to be a search data screen for patients. But I want it to come up first. Now, by default, the create new patient is coming up first, and I don't want to encourage users to enter duplicates in the system. I want to force them to search first. So I right-click, went to edit screen navigation, and now you can sit here, and you can see that here are your tasks. That's the tasks along the side of the menu system. You can create other groups and put other screens in them and that sort of stuff. I'm going to set this as the startup and move it up. Okay, there's also administration that you're not seeing right now. We'll get to that a little later when we talk about permissions. All right, so let's go ahead and hit F5 on that. And now we should see, you know, we have two patients in the system. We should see our search screen. And search screens are pretty cool. They have a couple neat nifty features on them. Okay, so one of the nifty features is this search box will actually search across, let's see, 1, 2, 3, there you go. It will search across any string field in the table. Okay, I put 1, 2, 3. That's part of the Social Security number. Okay, 425. That's Joe because he actually has a 425 in his phone number. Okay, so that's kind of cool. And you can control that on the entity, and you can control how searches work. But by default, that's how it works. The other thing is, let's see, let me clear that search. The other thing is, by default, every grid in the system, not just search screens, have an export to Excel. So any filter that's applied, it will take that data that's showing in the grid and will export it to Excel. So there's a lot of these like kind of, you know, productivity features, office productivity features that, you know, users would kind of expect or ask you to implement, and you don't have to do that. And you could turn that off if you don't want it, but it's there by default. Okay. All right, so yeah. Yes. The detail screen. So the detail screen, good question. So remember, this is the summary property I was talking about. Notice it's displayed as a link. When I click on it, that's when it opens our default detail screen. That's the details, okay? So notice I didn't specify, by default, all the summary properties show as links. You can uncheck that not to show as links, but by default they are. And actually, look at the prescription. I didn't actually create a prescription screen, but it's generated one for me, okay? So it displays all of the summary properties as links, okay? So that's an editable screen. Okay, so now let's talk about queries, okay? Because one of the things that bugs me really badly is that all of these are out of order. It's not really user-friendly, okay? So the concepts inside of Lightswitch, data and screens, and queries, okay? Queries are also like a first-class citizen with a designer and everything. Okay, so let's go ahead and close this down. And let's create a query off of product, okay? So what we could do is right-click on product and say add query. Because I want to sort these products. Okay, so here's the screen designer. Totally complicated looking, isn't it? Okay. Sorted products. Okay, that's the name of it. Okay, the source is products. Okay, now what's kind of cool about queries is you can actually compose them. You can build them up. You can base queries on other queries. So once I create this one query, sorted products, I could create another query for products and base it on sorted products so that you're not always, you know, sorting and sorting and sorting. Okay, so they're composable, which is cool. So the only thing I need to do here is I want to add a sort by product name ascending. Okay, save that. All right, so now that I have this sorted products, I can go back to our patient detail. And let's, before I add the query, let's just talk about what you're looking at right now, okay? This is not a WYSIWYG designer that you're probably used to, right? You don't drag things. There's no toolbox. Remember I told you, there's no toolbox. So you're not dragging and dropping things and controls and then setting the data binding and everything down to that level. What you're doing is you're looking at your view model right here, okay? This actually is using an MVVM pattern behind the scenes, but you don't have to know or care, okay? So, which is great because I suck at MVVM. So, but I'm doing it, so I'm happy. So that's your view model. That is the data on the screen. In this case, I have patients and I have the prescriptions, okay? So there it's related, okay? So what you're looking at here in the center is the view, or what I mentioned, the content tree. It's your controls and the data binding to the data in the view model. When I write code against like a command, right? Remember I had this method? Okay, edit, can execute and execute. This should be be looking familiar if you know the commanding pattern. Okay. All right. So when I do these things, I'm, you know, and enter, you know, I could enter any code in here to execute the button. What's happening is it's modifying your view model. Okay, so you're always writing code on the view model, not on the screen itself. This allows us to create shells later and totally change the look and feel of the application. Okay, so just keep in mind that you're working with a view model and then your content tree is in the center. All right, so what was I doing? Oh yeah, I wanted to add that query. Add data item. We can add lots of things to our screens. We can add other, more methods, which I did before for the button. Local properties, you know, just strings or images or that sort of things are just local to the screen. Or in my case, I want to add the sorted products, which are here. Okay, I want to add a query. Okay, so once I add that query to the screen, now I can go down to the product, and you'll see here that the choices, right, the product is now sorted. Okay, so what's kind of cool is I have three queries on here. I have prescriptions, I have patient, and I have sorted products. But LightSwitch knows that, hey, this is a product. I can't use any of those other queries. It's only showing you the queries that can apply to this control. Okay, so it's requiring it to bring back a set of products. So those are the only two I could select from, auto or sorted. All right, so let's check to make sure that it worked because I got some time. Yeah. Okay, so let us add one from Beth Massey. Beth Massey sucks at eyesight. So here we go. Products. There we go. Now it's sorted. Advanced lens cleaner is first. All right, sweet. Okay. Any questions on that? Yeah. Shh, don't tell anybody. No, there's no code behind, actually. What's up? You mean...
I was talking about the lists you see in these screens. That's also missing.
The lists, the queries.
With the task list.
So the task list is displaying the screens that you can open, okay, without passing a parameter to them, right? Okay, so the reason why you don't see the patient detail on the task is because you have to open that with a parameter. So that is good. I planted you there because that walks me right into the next section of this talk about parameters, screen parameters. So let's create a screen with a parameter, okay? All right, so that's the reason why, okay? So you don't see it. Okay, so screen parameters, let's do that. This is fun. Let's go back to our products and add a new query, okay? I'm going to add a query that requires a filter parameter, okay? I'm going to call this products by category. Okay, so I want to add a filter where category is a parameter. Oop, sorry, I double clicked. It's a parameter and I need a new one. Okay, so it's parameter of type string. Now, a couple things you can do with queries. Now, notice, this is so annoying. Okay, anyways, you notice that we can select the parameters. We can mark it whether it's optional or not. Okay, that's kind of cool. You can go up to the filter, I guess, area here, select the query, and you can specify whether or not it should return many or one. Okay, so that's kind of cool. You can have scalar queries if you need. The other thing with queries, and I'm not going to go too deep into it right now. I'll do that in the next session, I guess, is that you can pre-process the queries by writing code, by writing link code. Okay, you can do all sorts of stuff that you couldn't do in this designer. Okay, so this designer is very simple, but if you have to, you can just drop to code and write, you know, lambda expressions like crazy if you want. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. I suck at lambda expressions, too. All right, so category. We got products by category. We have a query. We can create a screen. It is this simple. So I am going to do a list in detail screen this time. So this is going to pull up a list of products that match our category, right? So now I'm going to say products by category. Let's go ahead and include the rebates, too. Okay, so let's walk through a little bit of what we got on the screen now. What did LightSwitch do for us? Well, the first thing it did for us is it put the product category as a text box up at the top, We have to enter that in before the query can execute. Okay, if you were setting it in code, you would set it in a method called initialize data workspace, which we will also talk about in the next session. Once you set the parameter, the query is executed by default automatically. You can specify whether or not that is what you want, auto execute query or not, but by default that's on. You'll notice that there's also a tie here to this. This data item is tied to this screen, okay, parameter. It could be a parameter. Here we go. There's a parameter. Okay, so, and you'll notice that it's hooked in to the category, filter parameter. So this is the query parameter, and this is a screen parameter now because I marked it screen. Marked it as parameter. Now I could say, okay, first of all, it's a parameter to the screen, but it's not required. That means it would show up on the task menu because it's not a required parameter. If I say is required and it is a parameter, now it will not show up on the task menu. You can only call the screen in code because the parameter must be supplied to the screen. Okay? All right, so let's not make it a parameter in this case, and let's make it required, meaning that I have to fill it out before the query will execute. Okay, so let's go ahead and hit F5 on that one. And this is a new type of screen. So you're going to see a list, and then it's details. As we select things in the master, it's going to change. Okay, so products by category, list of detail. Okay, there's the category, product category. It's waiting for me to fill it out. Okay, I can either hit tab or enter, and now the query runs. Okay, so that's basically easy stuff. Now, this is a little beta 2 bug, by the way, this little thing kind of right here. Crap. I don't like that. If you're running beta 2 and that annoys you, it annoys the heck out of me. So I think you can do funky things here. You can add a new group. Okay, so when you add a group and then you can start binding this group to stuff. I think it was a rows layout and I want to move it up here. Is that right? Something like this. I don't know. Do I have this one all right? Nah, I probably messed this up. Oh, here, maybe product category. There we go. Now we'll delete that one. And then this guy is now, I don't know. Look, I got a quadrant. All right, forget that. You can always click cancel. All right, the cool thing about this, by the way, is when I make those customizations, whether I click save or cancel, right, it actually persists that into the screen itself. Okay, so before when we were making changes, it actually persisted. Now it's not. I can't figure that one out. All right, let's look at this screen really quick. The funny thing is you won't have to actually know how to fix that because we fixed it already. So I want to see, I see an MSRP here, okay? I want to see the current cost, though. Based on all of these rebates, this has a start and end date and what the rebate is. This is like a discount on the price, okay? So we've got some rebates. What I'd like to see is what the current cost is this moment. So when I change the MSRP or add or delete or change any of these rows and it falls within the range, I want to calculate a current cost. Okay, so normally what would you do? You'd create a property and you'd hook up all these events to changing this or that or the other thing, or you do use an observer pattern, or you do all sorts of little things you can do, right, to handle that. Usually it's just handle events happening. Okay, change events. In LightSwitch, it's actually super simple, like everything is. So in LightSwitch, what we do is we'll go to, what is it, the product table, okay? And what I want to do is I want to add the current cost, okay? And I want to, notice that actually I didn't actually click computed property or have to, because like I mentioned, this is an external data source. The only thing you can add to this entity is a calculated field. Okay, so that's what it selected. All right, so money, okay, current cost, and now what I need to do is I need to edit the method. All right, so notice I'm in the product. So I'm actually pretty good at link. I'm not good at a lot of things, but I can do link. So what I really want to do is I want to get the total. You might have to help me with this though. All right, what I want to do is I want to aggregate. Right, I want to aggregate all the rebates in me.productRebates, right? Where r.start is less than or equal to today. Okay. And also, R dot rebate end is greater than date today. Sweet. I got that. Into sum of rebate, right? Rebate is the money. Got it. See? I did it. Awesome. All right. I'm happy about that. All right. Result is now going to be me dot MSRP minus the total. Don't ask me to write that in C#, though. I would not know how to do that. Okay. That's our calculate. That's our compute. Now all we need to do is we need to go add it to the screen. Now what's kind of cool in LightSwitch, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but if you remove an entity or remove a column or change a type, what's actually happening under the scenes is it's trying to preserve all your test data while it's doing that, okay? And it's actually creating this nice change scripts, and it's doing it all underneath the covers. It's also going through all the screens and removing that entity from them, okay? So you can hit F5 again, and your app doesn't blow up, okay? So if you, like, rename a column or delete an entity, the screen will still exist, but it will be empty. It will actually go through and remove all of the queries on your screens that have anything to do with that entity because it removes the queries. Okay, so that's pretty cool. All right, let's go over to, where were we here? How am I doing? Cool. All right, so now we just want to put, let's put it, the product details, and let's just put current cost right there. All right, the other thing we can do is in beta 2, we added a little bit of font styling. Okay, instead of normal, you can, you know, make it strong. Okay. All right, so let's now see what happens. So notice I just added a calculated field to the entity. That's all I did. Okay, so let's get our stuff. There you go. Current cost is $4. Is that right? Let's see. What's the date today? I don't know what the time. Don't tell me what time it is, but let's see. Okay, 3/8 to 3/11. No, what is the date today? Here's one. From 2010 to this is November 2011. Okay, so this one's applying 6. There it is. So 10 minus 6 is 4. I can do math. Okay? All right, so if we changed this to, you know, 4, we got 6. Okay? So I changed a record on the screen. It automatically calculated the current cost for me. I changed the MSRP, same idea, right? MSRP, let's make it, 20, okay? And there it's 16 now, okay? So it's automatically handling all that hookup for you behind the scenes. You just need to create that calculated field, and you're good to go. Cool? If I add it, you want to test it some more. If I deleted this, let's delete this. If I delete the row, now it's 20, okay? All right, so if I refresh the screen, I discard, I made changes, everything is... Actually, and look, I forgot to tell you this. Let's see. Allergy in the system is spelled like this. You don't need to. It's not case sensitive, which is awesome, because that's why I love Visual Basic. It's not case sensitive. When I'm searching for data, not case sensitive. Thank you. Okay, so you didn't have to do that. All right, anyways, it's now at 4 because I discarded the changes. Okay, so... That's the idea with calculated fields. All right, so now, any questions on screens, data, how to enter business rules? Yeah?
The query was on data in the screen, was it?
Yes.
So no performance issues.
Right. Well, the query is actually going against the database and coming back, okay? Yeah. It's going against the one at the top. But there's also a search box on the grid itself, and that actually is searching within the results on the screen. The total is calculating on the screen in that case. What's interesting is if you're using, say, you're doing some business rules and it's on the server, it will actually calculate on the server. So any time that current cost is needed in a calculation or anything, it will run wherever that calculation is happening. Okay? All right, if that makes sense. And actually, there's a Channel 9 interview with the architects of LightSwitch and Charles Torre. That's been a couple months ago. And they actually explain how they handle all of this underneath the scenes, okay, which is like blows my mind, but it works. Okay, so I'm going to move on to, what time is it? We got 15 minutes, no problem. Okay, so another very critical feature in business applications is what we call access control, security access control, being able to, you know, tell the system what the user can and cannot do, can and cannot see, that sort of stuff, right? You know, you log in and I don't have access to modify every patient in the system, right? That would be bad, right? Okay, so access control is a big feature in Lightswitch. So let me close all documents, it's still here. Let me close all those documents. What I'm gonna do is gonna go up to the properties and I'm gonna go to this access control tab, okay? There's a couple ways you can authenticate in Lightswitch. And what it's actually doing underneath the scenes is it's actually using the ASP.NET membership provider. So you have the same, well, you have similar options, right? You have Windows authentication, you have Forms authentication, okay? Windows authentication, you got a couple extra choices to make. You could say, you know what, use Windows authentication, but allow any authenticated Windows user into the system. Just go ahead. Just make sure they're on the domain and they get access to everything. Or you could say, allow only users specified in the user screen, meaning I'm entering specific permissions for everybody on the domain. Okay, and then you can kind of mix and match it, actually. So what you could do is you could say, allow any authenticated Windows user, and then you could add users into the system with special permissions, and the allow any would get everything that you didn't secure, if that makes sense. Okay, and I'm going to show you how you secure things. How do you write code to set up access control? So the first thing I want to do is I'm going to add a permission. Okay, so you make up permissions. It's like an enumeration of permissions, and you're going to check them in code. And you can check them anywhere in code. You can do anything with these things. But typically, what you do is you secure screens, entities, and queries. And there's hooks for that. Okay, so I'm going to add, let's do a product catalog, can access. And this will be like access to the entire screen. Okay? And this is just the display name that you see. Okay, can. Okay, and I'm not going to fill in a description. And let me move this out of the way so you can see the whole grid here. Okay. There we go. And then what I also want to do is I want to control access to the reading, the updating, the inserting, and the deleting of the patient itself. Okay, so can read patient. Can insert. Read, insert, update. And then delete. Okay. Now, this checkbox over here, okay, means that during debugging, I want to grant the permissions to me as the debugger. Okay, this means that if you're, for instance, using Forms authentication, you actually don't go through the login process ever. You don't have to. It speeds it up. So you just go ahead and set up, check off this, this, and this, and I'm going to test, you know, this mode. Check off this, this, and this. I'm going to check this mode. So I actually don't have anything granted for debug. I will grant the security administration screen so you can take a look at what those screens look like. And I'm going to go ahead and just for debugging, I'm going to say let's just allow reads. I can't insert, I can't update, and I can't delete. All right, let's go actually write some code to check this stuff here. So what I'm going to do is go back over to, first I'll do the product catalog. Okay, and I mentioned there are these hooks on screens, queries, and entities. And there are the hooks is access control methods section. Okay, there's a can run. So anytime Lightswitch is trying to open the screen, it's going to check this. Okay, you could write anything in here, but typically you're going to write this. Result equals me.user.hasPermission. Okay, there's this permissions object here. And here's all of our permissions. Okay, so the permission is can access product catalog. All right. And the other thing I want to secure, all right, control access to, is the patient. Okay, write code again. You'll see access control methods, and there's actually more here. Okay, can delete, can insert, can read, can update, can execute. Okay, the save. All right, so I'm going to go in here, and I'm just going to go, can delete, insert, read, update. All right, there we go. So now I need to say results equals, and now we're actually on this application data service. Okay, the application data service is running on the server. Okay, all right, so this is going to be me. I'm not in the application. I got to go to the application, then the user. Okay, it's the same idea though. Then has permission. Permissions, and this one's going to be can delete. So there's can delete patient. Okay, and we'll just copy these all in here. Okay, and now I will just change this guy. Come here. Okay, this is can insert, can read, and can update. All right, cool. Now I got some permissions in the system. And I actually can only read patients. Okay, I only granted that for debugging. So let's go ahead and hit F5 and see what we got. Okay, so let's go in here. There's our screen, right? And notice that all of the fields are not editable. I cannot update, okay? So that automatically did this for you. Now, I can still update prescriptions. I didn't put any security on prescriptions. But my patient, I can't modify, okay, which is good. And you'll notice that I don't see in the task list anymore the product catalog. It's completely gone from the system. Okay, so that's a screen level security. Now, I also enabled the administration stuff so you could just see the screens. Okay, so what you do is you create roles, you know, your own roles, like, you know, product planner, planner. Okay, and then you can go ahead and add the permissions, okay? And the permissions add up, and this is just going to be your list of what you put in there, the display name, remember? Okay, and your permissions add up. They keep adding and adding. So if you have more roles and you're, you know, one role can insert, cannot insert a patient, but one role can, you then can, okay, if you have both roles. Okay, and then you just assign users to these roles. Actually, we'll add a little bit more. We'll do a little bit more when we deploy that. And actually, this is why you don't see administration in when you're debugging, because you're just entering test data. You know, it's kind of useless almost in debug mode, because you're a debugger. You're the debugger, and you have access to the app, okay? So really, those screens, you can look at them, but really they're used once you deploy the app, okay? Set up your users. Now, one thing that you'll notice, though, is this screen right here didn't disappear, and I don't have rights to insert. Okay, I forgot to secure access to the screen, but let's see what happens. Right, this might frustrate users, because what happens, let's enter my boss into the system. All right, I don't know his social security number, but I know he's male. All right. There. The current user does not have permission to insert entities into the entity set patients. All right, it's not the greatest error. It probably shouldn't even be here. That's going to frustrate users to no ends, right? They're like, I can't insert this? And why do I have create new patient screen? But the key here is that your data was secure. That actually fired on the server, okay? So if the user's trying to, like, hack in the system, but, you know that this user cannot, you know, doesn't have permission to do this, it will stop it at the server side, all right? So it is secure. Okay, cool. So questions on access control? Yeah. Yeah, well, I haven't been messing around with the screens anymore, though. Anytime you enter code into the system, you got to hit F5, right? Anytime I'm coding, you still have to F5. But just to design screens, you don't. You can just go into customization, right, mode, which is nice. Because you're really spending the bulk of your time customizing the screens in Lightswitch, right, after you enter your business rules.
Is there also a possibility for field-level access control?
Field-level is not built in, but you can decide to show and hide fields on the screens themselves. You can check that as permission anywhere in the system you want. But it's not built in as its core, okay, feature. So it's really just access control on what actions on the entity, okay? All right, so that is our app. It's awesome in its all of its awesomeness, okay? Which actually is a pretty full-featured app that we've built in, what is it, 70 minutes? Okay, so in 5 minutes, let's deploy this, okay? Now we're ready to deploy it. Okay, so, because I've gone through all my testing and all that stuff, right? All right, so let's go back to the properties. And let's take a look. Let's actually do forms authentication for the deployment so you can see what that looks like. I'm going to go now and publish. Okay, right-click here, publish. Okay, so client configuration. First step is to decide whether or not you want this to run as a desktop or a web app. Wait, did I show you that? I haven't actually showed you web apps. Here. You can do a web app in debug mode, too. Okay, what's the difference? It runs in the browser. There's my browser. Okay, so remember this is a Silverlight app, so now it's running an in-browser Silverlight app, right? Okay, it's either out of browser or in browser. Okay, there's a couple things you're limited to. This is Silverlight 4, so a couple things is you can't access, you know, the current running applications on the computer, you know, comm support, that sort of stuff. But now it's, you know, can run on a Mac, right? It can run in any browser. Okay, so, but it looks, everything looks the same, except you'll see that there's no export to Excel anymore, because it can't. Little things like that change, but it is still the web app, okay? All right, questions? Okay, I just wanted to show you that part. Okay, that was the web. All right, so I actually find that anytime I usually create business applications, they typically were desktop applications. And Vision Clinic needs to be because, you know, theoretically we would be interfacing with like the iScanner and that sort of thing. All right, so the client configuration is desktop. The application server configuration, you have three options. Okay, local, yes, we do support client server. No need to have an IIS middle-tier server running. This makes it very easy for departments that just have a database or, you know, SQL Express running on their own machine, be able to just do client-server, couple-user kind of app, right? Very traditional type of app. Very simple, though, to deploy. Okay, the other choice, of course, is IIS. So you have IT department or, you know, some guy has set up an IIS server for you and you can go ahead and publish to it, okay? Set it up like that. The third option is Azure, okay? So you get a free Azure trial, by the way, people. I think there's like, I forget how many days the trial is, but you get a free Azure trial, go ahead and get a small instance, okay? And you can deploy the sucker to Azure, all right? And we got a great walkthrough on our blog on how to do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that because it would take 20 minutes, and I've got two. So, local, okay, publish output. The first thing is, okay, where are you going to put the published files? In this case, I'm going to just do a client-server app, so it's actually going to install ClickOnce application on my machine. Because what actually is happening in a two-tier publish is that all of the middle-tier components are actually installed on the client computer, on the client side. So, the architecture is still logically N-tier, it's just physically deployed as two-tier. Okay, so that's how we can get away with all this kind of mix and match deployments. All right, so you can publish directly to the database or I can create a script, you know, that you can hand off to someone else. Database connections, okay, so now I need to specify the administrator connection string for the new database. Okay, so let's go ahead and I'm going to deploy it to SQL Express. Okay, and I'm going to name, I'm going to use SQL Server Authentication, actually Windows Authentication is fine. There are two questions here, the connection string to create the database, so I can go ahead and just use Windows Authentication. I'm going to call it Vision Clinic. Okay, now the second one is the user's connection string, okay, and you could create a database login if you wanted, okay, at this point, you know, I don't know, app user. Right, password. Okay. Oh, they didn't match. Of course they didn't match. I should have known. All right. How about that? That looks like it matched. The server only supports. Oh, okay. Well, that's great. My server is only supporting Windows Authentication, so let's just go ahead and leave it as Windows Authentication. All right, you can change that inside of SQL Express. All right, but you could create a database login if you needed to. Anyways, authentication. Okay, yes, I need to create the application administrator. Now, this is the user that's going to be deployed by the first time into the system so that you can access it. So let's just call this Beth, full name Beth, password
Let's try it again. All right. That looks like it worked. Any more prerequisites that we need? We don't. This is the connection string to the external data source we need to specify. Whether or not we need a certificate, we don't. In this case, I'm just going to trust myself. And now it's going to publish. All right. So time's up. I just saw the time's up. But this is deployment. Okay, keep in mind that you have a bunch of different options for deployment. Okay, and while this is like publishing itself, I'm just going to leave you with a couple resources. PowerPoint disappeared, but it can come back. We have the technology. Here it is. Okay, and it would be good if I found the actual file. Here we go. So what I want you guys to do, if you liked what you saw, and I hope you did, is I want you to go download the beta. All you really need to remember for resources is msdn.com/lightswitch. You can access our blog, all the training materials, download the beta. Everything is here. And if it's not, let me know, because I'm in charge of that site. It's my fault. Okay? All right. Did you guys enjoy yourself? All right, cool. Thank you.